This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside Mr. Damon McDonald. At the time that we are recording this, it is Sunday, June 26th. And Damon, I was just telling you before we hit the record button, what a beautiful day it is outside of the Purocast studios right now.
That's why we're doing a five-minute show. So it's too nice to be cooped up and talking about nothing, really, because there were no shows, right? We're not reviewing a show. We'll touch on a show that's coming up later on in the week, but we're not really talking that. Really, this is going to be about, you know, kind of catching our breaths, so to speak, our collective breaths, and kind of a little bit of a review of where we've been in the calendar year. And it will be a little bit of a preview because, you know, what, tomorrow is that Cork and Hall show.
Yes.
And maybe that's where we'll review. We kind of look at that show and talk about the G1 participants, because that's when they're going to get announced, right? So that's exciting, but that's tomorrow. And for some of you, you might already know that information. But we're going to give our two cents, and then you can point and laugh at your radio and say, ha, what dopes these guys were, because none of it happened.
So I'm looking at the official New Japan banner for the G1 Climax 26 right now. Mm. And let's go over who's on the banner, which I think it's safe to say that these guys are officially going to be in the tournament.
So, good safe bet, yep.
So, of course, we've got Okada and Tanahashi, right? I think that's, you know, a given. We've got Kenny Omega, who, mm-hmm. that'll be his first G1 tournament.
Right.
We've got Togi Makabe, Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, which is something I've been campaigning for this past year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Tetsuya Naito. We've got Hiroki Goto, Yuji Nagata, and Katsuyori Shibata, who, of course, is going to be your G1 champion this year.
Of course. Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, you know, marketing materials, that's telling, right? I would think if you're making banners and making posters and making display advertisement, yeah, there's a very good chance those people in there. So the two people that would be new would be Kenny Omega and Tama Tonga, which is nice. I think that's very good. I mean, one of which is nowhere near a surprise with Omega. Maybe Tama Tonga might be a little bit of a surprise. With them dropping the tag straps, though, it does free him up a little bit. So I'm happy to see that. I mean, that's two nice additions, I think.
You know who else it frees up, though?
Is that?
Tongaloa.
I don't think he's in it. I don't think he's.
I hope you're right.
I don't think he's a good fit, and I think they know it and they recognize it. I really do. I think that they kind of know what they got with that, and I don't think they were too happy. And
at least not at this point, anyway. I mean, you know, this guy could improve tremendously within the next year. Who knows? I mean, he's not a bad wrestler, but he's just, you know, he's just kind of there.
No, I mean, like, I can't tell you if he's good or I can tell you if he's good or bad. Why am I walking on fucking eggshells? He's not good.
He was okay in that Briscoes match.
He's not a fit. He's not a good fit. That Briscoes match was all Briscoes. I'm sorry.
Sure.
It was all Briscoes. No, I don't think he's a good fit for G1. That's for sure. He could barely make it through, you know, a simple tag match. When I say simple, I put it in air quotes, but he can't even make it through that. I'm not walking on eggshells on this one. He's just not good. All right, so that's two spots, right? So if we look at last year, right,
okay.
And who was in and who wasn't, and then we can kind of guesstimate where people might fit this year. So Block A last year, Tanahashi.
Right.
I mean, he's in barring injury, obviously, right? But that injury is, man, that's a big question mark. Is he going to be ready?
Well, that is a very good question, and I think that that is the reason why they actually waited until tomorrow to do this G1 announcement, because they wanted to make sure 100% that Tanahashi was going to be ready for this tournament. If I'm a betting man, I'm saying, yeah, he's going to be ready.
He's got to be. I mean, they are going to tape him up and hope for the best.
He's kind of another guy that has like these, you know, people always talk about how John Cena has these mutant healing powers, and Tanahashi's not that far off from that, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't have a vial of his DNA on me.
I do.
Although that's subject to conjecture after our New York meeting.
Hanging around my neck.
July 18th, G1 starts. It is now June 26th. Is Tanahashi going to be ready? Yes or no, Colin?
Yes.
Okay. I hope so.
I have the utmost faith.
All right. In his recuperative powers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with your DNA, with his DNA around all of your chest, you're saying that with that knowledge, you're saying he's in. Okay. He'll be ready. AJ, obviously not, right?
Obviously not, unfortunately.
Obviously. All right. Just making sure. Naito in. Fale in, right?
Yep. I mean, we've got to have, you know, there has to be participants in this tournament that are there to not only be a spoiler, but take falls as well. So he plays both of those parts, really.
Yeah, I think he's like a middle-of-the-road guy. So he exactly what you said. He has credibility enough to get wins over guys that, you know, it's not going to look ridiculous. But again, he's a decent name that's going to be taking some falls for people to bump them up. Yano, Toru Yano.
Well, he is, correct me if I'm wrong, he's one half of the GHC tag team champs, right?
Correct, in Noah. Now, that's usually the kiss of death when it comes to G1, right? Well, I mean, right. And kiss of death being last year, really. You saw no Suzuki-gun members. So I'm going to safely say, I'm not safely saying, I'm going to say that Yano is not in this year.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. And you know what? That's fine with me.
Yes, yes, because what you'll be getting are those one-minute, two-minute ball shot matches, right?
And we've seen them. You know, we've seen them for the past how many years that he's been in the G1. So,
right.
You know, I'm kind of over it.
What he does is he establishes that fact of, again, the sports analogy. Just because you're the number one seed doesn't mean you can't lose, right?
Right.
And he gets over the it can happen at any moment. You know, for him to get a ball shot, pull the hair, roll up on a Tanahashi, I mean, that's huge, right? That's shocking. It gets over that fact that every near fall could be the finish. But with that said, yeah, he's tag team champions over there. I don't see him coming in. So we'll put an X next to Yano's name.
By the way, remember that match that he had with Tenzan last year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The accidental blood, right?
Yeah, that. I mean, for that alone, that made that one of the memorable matches of the tournament, in my opinion.
It absolutely did. Yeah. Shibata in, obviously, right? Yeah,
absolutely, since he's going to be in the finals.
Here's one.
Sumo Hall.
I love that. Here's one. Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi, I think that we can both safely say, will not be in the G1 Climax this year.
Okay, why? You think he's getting signed? You think he's WWE bound?
Absolutely. I mean,
okay.
Damon, they have two rosters to fill. They've got NXT to revamp as well. I mean, they're going to be bringing up a lot of those NXT guys to the main roster. And they're trying to make NXT this viable touring brand, and they need guys for that. So absolutely, I think that him and Uncle Paul have absolutely already been in talks. I mean, I don't know that, but it's one of those things that you can't prove, but you know.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a little different opinion.
Okay,
I'm gonna give you a little the other side of the coin.
All right,
this is Kota Ibushi we're talking about. Kota Ibushi is well, I'm just going to call him a weird cat.
It's a free spirit.
Right? Yeah, free spirit, right? Kota Ibushi, I don't know if necessarily a contract with NXT or WWE would tie into his, what is it, the Ibushi Wrestling Experiment Society or whatever the fuck he was calling it?
The Kota Ibushi Paul Levesque Research Institute, I think it was.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know if that necessarily jives, all right? Here's a guy that's wrestling for that Inoki promotion, that IGF thing, right? He's all over the map. Now, here's another thought. So, again, just because WWE wants him doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to come, right? This is a guy who turned, I almost said turned his back. He passed on staying full-time New Japan.
Right.
You talk about something that's restrictive. You sign a WWE deal, it's fucking restrictive. Okay? Now, this Cruiserweight Classic thing that they got going on over there, right, that he's involved with, they taped on the 23rd. What was that, Thursday?
Right? Yes.
A lot of this shit is pre-taped, which is garbage. But, okay, it is what it is.
They'll be fun shows.
Oh, I think they will. I definitely want to check them out, but it is what it is. So the 23rd they taped. Their next taping is July 14th. Okay. G1 starts July 18th.
Right.
Okay. The next taping after that, August 26th. The last day for G1.
The 14th.
14th.
Interesting.
And then the finals are the 6th or the 14th of September. He could do it.
He could do it. And I hope you're right. I mean, I would love to see Kota Ibushi in the G1 this year. I mean, it would kind of feel, it's going to feel weird with the loss of a lot of guys. I mean, no Nakamura, no AJ, possibly no Kota Ibushi.
Now, I'm saying this just pure speculation, mind you, on my part. But, again, we're talking about Kota Ibushi, who, again, we'll call him a free spirit, right?
A weirdo, in other words.
A wackadoo. Two, the dates jive. The dates line up. It could fit. You know, airplanes are pretty tremendous means of transportation.
They're marvels of modern science. And we can thank the great Howard Hughes for that.
Thanks, Hughes. Yeah, he could do it. Now, I don't know what other commitments he has. I don't know what his signing is. I don't think he signed shit with them yet.
I have no idea.
So, again, my speculation, mind you, but wouldn't it be awesome you wake up tomorrow morning, you find out Kota Ibushi's in G1?
I would be like a kid on Christmas morning, Damon.
Well, me too. Well, hopefully we get that, because these people who download this show on Monday morning are going to be laughing their ass off when we're on. And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's just, again, it's a name that was here last year. Could he be here? He could. He really could. All right, so that's Kota. Makabe, yes, he's
yes.
In. Tenzan. Is Tenzan in this year?
Well, you do need those wily old veterans. You know, you need to have a certain number of them in the tournament, so I'm going to say that Tenzan is indeed in.
Okay, you'll have Kojima, I'm sure, when you'll have Nagata.
Yeah, you'll have Kojima, you'll have Nagata. Yeah, I think like the classic New Japan dads, if you will, minus Nakanishi, of course, are going to be in.
I don't know. I think Tenzan's on the bubble. Tenzan's a guy that's on the bubble. Last year, he struggled. He did struggle last year.
He did.
And even the year before that. Yes, people have to lie down and lose. People there has to be people that go, you know, two wins, one win in this tournament. And Tenzan would fit that groove perfectly.
He's Mr. G1, Damon.
He is, but that was quite a while ago, right? That wasn't last year. That was many moons ago. Is Tenzan in or out, Colin?
I say Tenzan's in.
Okay. All right, we'll leave him in for now. But then I'm going to bring up some other names that haven't been mentioned.
Okay.
In a moment. Doc Gallows, he's in, right? He's winning. He's coming back.
Yep, there's going to be Doc Gallows and Shibata in the
fantastic.
Finals.
Fantastic. Gallows is out. He will not be attending.
Yep, he's part of the club.
Yeah, he's got. I don't know what that means.
The club sandwich.
The club. Ugh. Okay. Block B. So that was Block A. So really, the question marks are Tanahashi and Ibushi are the question marks, and even Tenzan is a question mark at this point. But that leaves Yano out, Gallows out, AJ out. Three spots available, and we'll just fill them up. You can fill them up with Omega and Tonga, right? Let's do that now. Right?
Okay.
Block B. Nakamura.
Nakamura is out.
He has prior commitments, I believe. All right.
I believe so.
Okada in.
Of course.
Carl Anderson out.
Yep.
Okay. Goto in.
Goto in.
Ishii Ralph.
It is, you know what? From this day forward, I am going to say Tomohiro Ishii.
Are you going Ishii?
I'm going Ishii, and I believe that you had a little DM conversation with a friend of ours, Manzuki.
I didn't have a conversation. Did I have a conversation? I didn't say it. I don't know.
Manzoku, excuse me.
Yeah. He mentioned. I don't know anymore. I'm so confused. I don't care. All right. Ralph.
Ralph is
in, right?
Ralph is in, yes.
Okay. Michael Ilgun. That's how you pronounce it, right? Ilgun?
Yes. I think that's a Canadian thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Elgin's in, right?
Yeah, okay. Elgin's in.
Takahashi. Is Takahashi in?
I hope so. I certainly hope so. I mean, we just to hear that seductive sax, and you know, maybe he can get Mao Chan and Muffin Ass, and yeah, I hope so.
I was watching Access this past week,
uh-huh.
And it was Honma and Takahashi.
That was a classic.
It stunk, and Jay. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not digging the JR commentary. I told you, I texted you. I was like, I'm watching Nakamura Okada, and I was getting put to sleep. Like this was a match with so much juice and energy and fire, and like I wasn't feeling it from them.
That was one of my top three favorite matches from the last G1 tournament. But yeah, you're right. There's something, and this isn't to take anything away from good old JR, but I gotta say, Mauro Ranallo is sorely missed on this New Japan on Access television show. He really is.
Yeah, I'm not digging the JR guest thing. I'm really not. All right, whatever. Roll over the map. So Elgin in, Takahashi, you're saying in?
I'm saying in.
Okay. Nagata in?
Yes, Nagata in. He can still go.
Okay. Kojima in?
Yep, Kojima in.
Okay.
Again, we need a certain amount of those old veterans.
Okay. And Honma?
Yeah, Holmes in. He just he's going to be in the main event facing Shibata next Sunday.
Yes, that's going to be a great
never title. Yeah, it's going
to
be a good one.
Looking forward to that. All right, so Omega, we're going to fit him into the AJ spot. All right,
right.
Why don't we do that? And Tonga, we'll put in the Gallows spot. Right.
Yep.
Okay. So again, the question mark is Ibushi. Yes or no? We don't know. We're saying Tanahashi's in. Yano is out, we'll say. All right, so that means in block B, Nakamura out, Anderson out, and everybody else is in. All right, Sonata, in or out?
I'm going to say that Sonata's in.
Okay, so I'll put him in the Nakamura spot. Why not? Just to fill a role. Evil, in or out?
Evil's in.
Okay.
All of the Ingober Nobles minus Bushi, they're going to be in this tournament, I feel.
Okay. I got no more spots.
Damn.
So, is Yoshihashi in?
That was one of the questions we got, actually. We're going to do a Q&A a little later on towards the end of the show, and I would like to see Yoshihashi in, which would mean...
Who gets booed?
If we're going to include Yoshihashi in this tournament, then I would say that one of the old veterans has to go. How about Tenzan?
That's where I was leaning. I mean, and again, Ibushi could not be in it. I mean, I can't believe we're sitting here talking about Ibushi being in it or not being in it. But, okay, so we'll just call it. You want to call Tenzan? We'll call Tenzan. So you think Yoshihashi replaces Tenzan? Do you think or do you want?
That's the thing. I want Yoshihashi to replace Tenzan. Do I think that he's going to? That's 50-50. That's up in the air. I don't know.
Way to be committal.
Do you
think Yoshihashi is in G1 this year, Colin Miller?
You're looking for a yes or no answer.
I am.
I'm going to say yes.
All right. So then he's replacing somebody. You're saying Tenzan?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's say Tenzan.
Okay. I don't think that's happened, but that's all right. All right. What about Kushida? There was a lot of yapping about how Kushida wanted to be in G1, how, you know, he was going to help solidify the juniors with a slot in the G1. That's what he wanted. That's what he's been pining for. Is Kushida in G1?
I am going to say yes. Kushida will be in G1.
I'm saying no. Where do you see him fitting in? What spot is he taking?
I mean, again, you would have to either kick out one of the veterans or kick out.
You're not kicking out Nagata.
No, you're not going to kick out Nagata. Kojima and Tenzan are up in the air. You could kick out a Takahashi, perhaps.
I would think Takahashi would be the one.
But then again, you need a certain amount of fall guys in this tournament.
Yes, you do, Colin.
And this is where it gets complicated.
Yes. I don't think Kushida's in. And here's the thing. If Kushida is in, he's not going to do well. He's going to be one of those bottom feeder guys.
Yeah, and I don't want to see Kushida as one of those guys. So, yeah, maybe it's best that he sits this one out and doesn't pull a Prince Devitier.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that's that. So I can't really think of anybody else that would be G1 worthy that we missed. Like a Juice Robinson is not fucking in G1.
What about a Ring of Honor guy? I mean,
I don't see it.
You don't see
it? Where do you put him?
That's a good question.
Who comes over, right? We know it's not going to be Moose. We know it's not going to be Roddy Strong. Who comes over? Kyle O'Reilly?
Adam Cole.
No, I don't see it. Who does he replace? Again, I can't believe we're fucking sitting here talking about Kota Ibushi and working ourselves up into a lather. We're really being dumb about this, but you know, I threw it out there with the Ibushi. But
Damon, Kota Ibushi is not going to be in this tournament.
Okay,
he's not.
Right.
There, as far as I'm concerned, the NXT contract is signed.
Okay, all right. So, is that an Adam Cole?
I think that would be a good replacement. I'd love to see Adam Cole in this G1 tournament.
Again, you have the Yoshihashi spot. You have the Kushida thing you could possibly do. Adam Cole would be losing. Adam Cole would be in a loser role. You want that? You good with that?
Not necessarily, no. Because I like Adam Cole, and I'd want to see him do good.
That Ring of Honor person is not going to be over 500.
Well, if there's going to be a Ring of Honor person in here that is there to kind of take falls, then you would think it would probably be Adam Hangman Page.
Possibly. Possibly. You're not going to do Jay Lethal, that's for sure.
No, you're not.
Jay Lethal is not in this tournament.
They're not going to put their world champ in the tournament. And
right. Right. Okay. All right, Colin's going to be he's going to spoil the party. No Kota Ibushi.
No,
I
just don't see it.
Neither do I. But I don't think there's going to be. I don't think you're going to get. You know, there was a lot of jibber jabber about, you know, bringing in all these Ring of Honor guys. When you break it down, the spots aren't there. Spots aren't there for these people. You're not going to get that. I think there's going to be some pretty disappointed people when these G1 lineups come up. Because you're not going to get that big surprise.
How about Minoru Suzuki? I think, yeah.
No.
Which is sad, man.
If he wasn't in last year, he's not going to be in this year.
I'd love to see Suzuki in this tournament and, you know, to have a match with, like, Omega or Naito.
Yeah. I think, imagine that. Imagine Naito now and Suzuki. That'd be great. Suzuki just slapping the piss out of him. That'd be wonderful. No, I think that's it, and I think people are going to be disappointed. I think the new fans and quite frankly, our target demographic.
Sure,
we're going to hear it. We're going to hear it on the Twitter machine. We're going to hear it on Facebook. We're going to hear it emailed. We're going to get to texts. There are going to be some disappointed people because it's not going to be this. You know, crazy revolutionary. Oh my God, I can't believe this. You're not going to hear. Here's what you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear, oh my God, I can't believe blah, blah, blah is in the G1. Right? Like you're not going to get that cruiserweight classic WWE. Oh my God, I can't believe they got
Akira Tozawa.
Yeah, right. Or Zack Sabre Jr. Or, you know, I can't believe. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that with this. Now, when have you? I don't know. Well, it's hard to say. I think last year, even with Elgin, was kind of like, oh, okay. even though a lot of people shit on it.
Yeah, remember the bitching that was going on when Michael Elgin was announced? And I was one of the earliest defenders of that. I was like, what are you guys talking about? Are you insane? This is going to be awesome. We've got this big, bruiser coming in. Imagine the matches he could have with Ishii. And, sure enough, that was one of the standout matches from the G1.
Yeah. So Yano.
Yano's out.
Yeah. Hmm. And well, listen, we're going to wake up. We're going to have some disappointed people. We're going to have some people that are going to work themselves into a lather thinking that, a Kushida is going to be in it or all that stuff. I think really what you're going to get is the logic. You're going to get logic. And
watch us be completely wrong. And this tournament's like a you're going to see like all Japan guys in there and like 0-1 guys.
Yeah, big Japan guys. Okabayashi's in it. Fucking. Ultimo Dragon's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
She's in it. Yeah, it's fucking great.
And just to go back to the Kota Ibushi thing for one second, I find it kind of ironic. You remember when Nakamura was leaving and I read that he had a dinner with Kota Ibushi. They had lunch or whatever. And Nakamura basically told him, like, hey, you're the guy now. It's time for you to step up and, kind of take the reins as one of the big four here. And sure enough, Kota Ibushi's like, nah, I'm gonna follow you instead.
I think Kota Ibushi has commitment issues. I really do. Just because Uncle Paul and Vince want him doesn't necessarily mean that he's all up for it. I could see him turning his back on that. I really could. I could see him doing the classic the cruiserweight tournament. Yeah, I can't. Something tells me I just don't see him signing up full time. He's not that kind of guy. Like he wants that flexibility where he can go to all these different places and fucking wrestle crabs and giant lizards and
Komodo then, dragons.
Yeah, and then wrestle whomever go to DDT and.
Do you think that there's like if he signs an NXT deal, there's like a giant crab clause in the contract?
I hope there are. I could go for some crab claws. I'm starving. What? All right. So there's your G1. We'll know tomorrow morning. By the time many people listen to this, it'll already be announced. We talked about it for an hour for something that has the shelf life of about 15 minutes. But. That's our thoughts for G1. So, again, we'll have some disappointed people, I'm sure, but that's the nature of the beast, I guess.
Well, moving right along here, it's June 26th, and we're kind of at that midway point here in 2016, where I think we can start talking about, what have been the matches of the year thus far, what have been the biggest surprises of the year, the biggest letdowns of the year. So why don't we do that?
And, all right.
And now, first of all, I think that this year, at this point in this year, I don't remember having this many Match of the Year candidates already last year during this time. I don't. They were there, but man, it just seems like, God, we've got like 20 Match of the Year candidates already.
We have a lot this year, and when we talk about top performers of the year, and again, when we look back last year and the year before, there was always that, man, this might be the Kota Ibushi podcast because his name is being brought up often. But, last year we talked a lot about Kota Ibushi at the midway point being, a wrestler of the year contender for New Japan. And, even there was some talk of Ricochet and, this year to me, is different in the sense of you don't have a lot of the usual names that you were talking about when it came to, halfway points of the year. Last year, you're talking AJ, you're talking Nakamura. Of course, Tanahashi's in that mix. Of course, Okada's in that mix. But this year, with all those, the usual suspects jumping ship and injuries and programs and matchups and all that stuff, to answer your question, yes, there have been loads of fucking talk, and matches that could be Match of the Year contenders. But to me, it's the people that are involved in those matches that, you know, given the opportunities to shine, they have, right? So when I talk about Wrestler of the Year, Colin, like, so give me a top three of who you think would be in that conversation. Halfway point, 2016, Wrestler of the Year.
Now, when we talk Wrestler of the Year, are we looking at the whole big picture here as far as, like, you know, not only quality matches, but merchandise, drawing power, et cetera, et cetera?
I think so, and I try to. I mean, I don't have a lot of those numbers. Like, I can only go by what people say and what I see. Like, I don't know how much Naito moves the needle due to his merchandise sales. I hear it's a factor, but I don't know. And I think anybody who does is just lying and regurgitating things that they've heard elsewhere. I mean, we do that a lot here, too. So, I mean, it is what it is. But I it's hard for me to say that that's a factor in my wrestler of the halfway point. You know, to me, I'm really looking at match quality and position on the card and draw, I guess. You know, is the person, if he's on top, putting people in seats? I think that's got to be a factor. Yeah, so I think so. But if you come to me with the Naito selling merchandise thing, I'm going to give you a big, I don't know. I can't put that as a definite qualifier for him being talked about as Wrestler of the Year. Does he sell a lot of merchandise? Yes. How much? I don't know. And how much that moves the needle? I don't know. I can assume it's only a positive, but I don't know how big of a swing it is.
Well, if we're talking about strictly match quality, let's just talk about that for a second.
Right.
I think that Tomohiro Ishii is definitely a name that should be taken into consideration for this year.
I think so. So if you look at Ishii's year, right, you're obviously starting off with Shibata at the Dome, right? So that was a again, I'm not going to sit here and worry about quarter stars and half star. It was in the fours, right? It's a four-star match.
Right.
It's in there and probably better than a solid four. You probably could go quarter, half, whatever.
That was one of my favorite matches of the year, and I think that match is absolutely going to be on the ballot during our end-of-year awards.
I agree. And then he followed it up the next day in a match that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. There was a multi-man that was really, really good. It was like Chaos against like Bobby. It was like, what was it? Beretta, Okada, Romero, and Ishii, Ralph versus Fish, Goto, Shibata, and O'Reilly.
Was that at the New Year Dash show?
That was at New Year Dash. Yeah, and
I'm gonna go back and check that one out.
Yeah, definitely do, because that's worth it. That was a really solid fucking match. And then the rematch with Shibata, right? That was at New Beginning. That's the one where Shibata wins the belt back?
Yeah, yeah, which was... wait a minute. No, Shibata won the belt at Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He retained.
My bad. You're right. My bad. So that was a solid four-star match, right?
Yeah, easily. You had another great match from Shibata and Ishii.
Yeah, and then the Honor Rising show with Roddy Strong.
Yep, we've got to take that into consideration.
Yep, that was a good match. I think I kind of was a little sour on it. I didn't think they gelled well. I thought the match was good. I saw some people giving it like 4.5s, and I'll give it a 4. I thought it was a good match. But that, I mean, you got to talk about that when it comes to the halfway point, that Honor Rising show at Corrigan against Roddy.
And of course, the two matches that he has had with Naito.
Right. So the Naito with at Dontaku, right, was one of them.
Yep, and the one at the New Japan Cup.
And the New Japan Cup, right. So those are solid four-star matches, you know, again, with change, depending upon where you want to go, halves, quarters, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I think Ishii has had an outstanding year. Those matches kind of tell the tale that, you know, he's consistently had really strong matches when he's been put in the spotlight and asked to do so. And here's the thing with Ishii. It's always the case, right? That shouldn't be a shock to anybody, right? The fact that he's having, again, another very, very solid year. Has he been chucked in multi-man tags that have been meaningless?
Yes. Sure.
Has he been sitting in that you know, Los Ingobernables chaos mix? Yes. And some of those matches have been pretty good. But when he's been called upon, he's had some really fucking knockout-of-the-park matches.
Absolutely. And I kind of feel bad for ragging on these Chaos versus Los Ingobernables matches, because they're not bad matches, but man, I mean, we're going to see yet another elimination match between the two factions next Sunday.
Yeah. The problem is that you have access to all these shows. That's really the problem. You know, if you're just a casual watcher and you pick up these shows every once in a while, you might be questioning, what the fuck are these two guys talking about? These matches are great. I think the problem is that you see, you know, you can't live on filet mignon 24/7, right?
Right.
After a while, it's like, okay, this I get it. This is delicious.
Oh, but, steak again?
Right. Oh, Kobe beef again? Can I get a pizza? But that's true. All right, so give me another name.
Tetsuya Naito.
Okay, let's talk about Naito. Now, you're not going to hand wave the fact that the guy fucking won the championship. Right, you can't. That's a big fucking deal, right? But he has not really had a tremendous year. Right?
As far as in-ring competition goes, I would say no, he hasn't had a great year. Barring those matches, of course, that he had with Tomohiro Ishii and Kazuchika Okada, he had some great four-star matches with them. But the rest of the year hasn't been great for him in ring, but you know, just the whole him really this Los Ingobernables character of Tetsuya Naito taking off and taking on a life of its own, you know, you have to take that into consideration for Wrestler of the Year.
That's a huge thing. That's a huge feather in his Los Ingobernables cap, right? Again, he started out the year at the Dome with Goto, right? That wasn't a great match. It was an okay match.
That was a forgettable match. I don't even remember. Did he win? Did Goto win?
Goto won. Goto won that match. Yeah.
What the hell happened?
You're right. Remember, I remember us bitching and moaning about it. Like, what the fuck was that? Why would Goto get the win there?
Like, looking back now, that made no sense.
It really didn't. And then they followed it up at the New Japan Cup, and that was a good match. Naito and Goto was good.
It was
at New Japan Cup again. Solid fours. You know, every time I mention and I call out a match, these are 4-star matches. You know, again, throw a quarter, throw a half, whatever we want to do.
And a 4-star match, by the way, is like I know we talk about them like they're just, you know, fruit that we effortlessly pick off of a tree outside. But dude, you know, a 4-star match is nothing to sneeze at.
I've never picked any fruit off a tree. Have you?
I actually don't think that I ever really have either.
Right. I've never done it. I've never gone like apple picking or anything like that.
I've gone huckleberry picking.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Back in the day with my grandmother, God rest her soul, we used to go blueberry, huckleberry picking.
Huckleberry? I don't even know what a huckleberry is.
Blueberry, huckleberry.
Is it a blueberry?
Yeah, it's a blueberry.
All right.
I feel like Nelson Muntz talking about blueberries and
I don't know. Okay, so here we go. Goto, New Japan Cup, blah blah blah. How about the Okada? So Okada at Evasion Attack. Okada, you know, just following it up here with Okada taking the belt back, and then he had Ishii at Dontaku. So he had maybe 4 matches that were solid fours. I don't think the Goto Dome match was a 4-star match.
Wait, the Goto Dome match. You're talking about Okada.
No, I'm talking about Naito.
Okay, you just said Okada.
Well, I mean, again, Naito.
Okay, his matches with Okada.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, right. My bad. And again, he had 4 matches. He had 1 with Goto at the New Japan Cup. He had 1 against Okada at Evasion Attack. He had 1 against Ishii Ralph against in Dontaku. And
at the New Japan Cup.
Yeah, and then Okada, this one. So, yeah, so what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
See, you know what? I was ready to shit on Naito. 4 or 5, solid 4 or 5. You know, yeah.
You're always ready to shit on Naito.
I really am.
Since the beginning of this podcast, like... Go back and listen to the first like 5 episodes, folks. It's a lot of Naito hate coming from Damon, but we showed him, didn't we?
Yeah, you sure did. You know, 2015. Name me a great Naito match.
I can't.
Exactly. Thanks.
But I can tell you that there was an excitement around Naito that started in 2015, and look where it's at now.
Okay.
The seeds were planted, and it blossomed into something fruitful.
A lot of fruit talk here tonight.
Yeah, a lot of fruit talk here.
A lot of bushy talk. Yeah. A lot of produce talk this one. All right.
Well, I do have to go to the grocery store a little later after we get done recording this. So.
All right. It all makes sense now. Okay. So, again, maybe I'm kind of downplaying Naito a little bit. Maybe he had a better year than I'm even giving him credit for, even with the Los Ingobernables explosion. I think I mixed in French and Spanish there. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was interesting. All right, French. Who else
had a great year? How about Kenny Omega?
Yeah, Kenny Omega, although I feel like he's kind of lost a little luster currently, he's definitely not a replacement for AJ Styles like they wanted him to be. I mean, it's interesting because when they had him pin Nakamura clean at New Year Dash, and then, you know, they had him turn on AJ, I mean, that was like a star-making moment for Kenny Omega. And then, of course, he goes on to beat Tanahashi for the IC title. And yep. He was hot. He was very hot. But something happened. I can't exactly pinpoint that, you know, what moment it was, but something happened where, you know, he got a little bit cold, it feels.
I don't know if that's the goofiness playing, you know. I don't know if it's that, if people just got sick and tired of like the outside interference or whatever. But, you know, you can't hand wave the match quality that he's had. So he had Kushida at the Dome, right? I think a 4-star match, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it probably was a 4-star match, but I can't remember it.
Yeah, it gets lost in the shuffle with the other matches. Listen, I agree with that. But then he had the great match at New Beginning against Tanahashi.
Yes, which, you know, is an arguable match of the year candidate.
Yep, absolutely. And then he has, you know, the Elgin ladder match.
Yeah, great match.
Great match. And again, the angle. I think the angle plays a lot into this. You know, it's halfway through the year. I think G1's going to be a pivotal time for Kenny Omega. I think that's really going to make his year. If he comes out of this tournament, and we're talking about Kenny Omega matches that were outstanding, and you know, there's a buzz around him again. That's what I think is lost. Like the buzz, like the Kenny Omega buzz has petered out a little bit, and I think he needs a real strong. I don't want to say a real strong, but he needs a strong G1 to kind of find some of that buzz back. Again, Tanahashi getting hurt. Yes, I think that has something to do with it. But I'm in the same camp as you. It's certainly not, you know, flaming fireworks as it was when that angle went down. It definitely has cooled off a little bit. But the match quality, I got to give him. He's had some great matches this year, for at least 4 or 5. Again, like Naito, 4 stars or more.
And not only in New Japan, but do you remember that six-man tag that we saw in Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
That, like, in general, that is one of my, like, top 10 favorite matches of the year thus far, like, outside of New Japan. I love that match. I go back and watch it to this day.
Well, there's one. Was that? Was that the ACH Kushida Matt Sydal?
Yes.
That was that. Yeah, that was great. That was a fantastic match.
That tore the freaking house down.
I thought so. I thought that was really good. So yeah, you gotta include that. I think that's definitely something. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily all in a New Japan ring, but you know, the ACH Kushida, Matt Sydal's. I mean, well, ACH. You know, ACH is starting up in Noah.
Is he really?
Yeah, ACH is going to be in Noah's junior tournament. Yes.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yes. So there's his foot in the door. Hopefully, that will lead a little bit more toward the New Japan side. But yeah. Look out for ACH there. So ACH, Kushida, Matt Sydal, Omega, Nick and Matt Jackson. Yeah, that was a great match. Yeah, I forgot about that. So yeah, I think Kenny Omega's got to be in that talk as well.
Can we go back to this ladder match for a second?
We sure can.
Because it seems to me that there is kind of a divide among critics and fans alike about this match. Like, for example, when you asked me my thoughts on this last week when we were doing our Dominion review, you were kind of surprised that I wasn't gushing over it like you thought I was going to be. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, I thought it was a very good match. You know, it was the first ladder match in New Japan history. But like when I was reading The Observer, Meltzer gave that 4.75 stars. And
yes,
Man, I wouldn't go that high. I mean, 4 is my ceiling for that.
You Meltzer gives 2 stars automatically anytime any type of fucking ladder is involved.
He loves his, you know, car crash ladder matches, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's automatically getting 4 stars out of the game if there's a ladder match involved. Yeah,
the one from WrestleMania, he gave that over 4 stars, and that was a shit match.
Yeah, he loves a ladder match. He loves a ladder match. That's kind of like been like a running joke, as a matter of fact, on many a podcast. I know I've listened to the Voices of Wrestling flagship show, and they always, because I mean they're reviewing WWE shows too, and they shake their heads like, what the fuck. And he's pretty notorious for the looking favorably upon a ladder match. But I thought it was a really good match. I don't know if it was 3.
Yeah, it was very good. But man, I like, just in my opinion, for me, I'm not gonna put that in match of the year. And you know that I'm neither right or wrong. Like, if you're a listener right now and you're thinking to yourself, hell yeah, that was an awesome match, I would definitely put that in the match of the year. You know, please let us know if you really love that match and think that highly of it. But for me, it was just, you know, it was very good.
Yeah, 4 3/4. Again, I hate getting involved in the fucking conversations about star ratings, but that's an ass hair away from a 5-star match.
Yeah,
that's what you're telling me. That's what you're telling me, and I didn't feel that.
I didn't feel that either. And you know, that is to take nothing away from both competitors. You know, those guys work their asses off in this, but just for me, it was very good. You know, 4 is my ceiling for that one. But anyway, moving on. Yeah, Kenny Omega definitely in the talk for Wrestler of the Year.
Okay, I'm going to give you my pick. This is the Damon pick for Midway Point 2016 Wrestler of the Year.
Okay, so just to review, the 3 that I mentioned were Ishii, Naito, and Omega.
Yep, I'm going to give you a name that hasn't been mentioned. And I'm going to defend him to my death.
All right, let's do it.
Kushida.
Hey, I'm not going to argue against that. Think about the year that he's had so far.
He's had an absolutely spectacular year, and it's gone. Some of this is going to go under the radar, and I'm going to read off some of this shit, and it's going to spark people's memories, and I'm going to win a lot of people over that are kind of on the fence with Kushida.
Let's do it.
So Kushida, the Dome, Kenny Omega. Again, we talked about that. I would give it a 4, but it did get lost in the shuffle. But it kind of began Kushida's junior run.
It was a great match.
Yes. We mentioned it earlier, that Ring of Honor match. And again, it's a multi-man tag match. So, again, there's a lot of factors to go into it. There's a lot of, you know, other people that are going to help make that match great. But he still wasn't a participant in that Ring of Honor match, the ACH, Kushida, Matt Sydal, Omega.
Yeah, all those guys, you know, all 6 of them shined individually in that match.
They did. I think so. But again, I don't want to say it's easier to have a great match with multiple people, because you could take a break, get a breather. It's a lot different than one-on-one.
Get a hot dog.
I would. You know that. All right. But then he follows that up with, and again, this may not be in exact chronological order, but he had Adam Cole that same weekend, right?
Right. And you know what? I don't think I ever saw that match.
Yeah. You know what? You didn't make the second part. Yeah. But that was really good against Adam Cole. Again, I think it's just grazing a 4. I wouldn't go any higher than that. But again, it's there. I think it's in the conversation. He had a great match with ACH in Philly in March.
Yeah, that's another one that I'm not hip to.
I saw that live. It was great. Let me tell you. And again, remember when you said, what was the best match of that show? Go back and listen to the podcasts. I said it was that match against ACH. It was fucking great. He had a match with Kyle O'Reilly. I didn't see, but I heard nothing but great things about in Toronto.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor one. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Okay. I didn't see that one either, but yeah, I heard great things about that. And while we're on that, you know, I think that he was the ace of this Best of the Super Juniors tournament.
Absolutely. Again, you had his match against Kyle O'Reilly, which, you know, 4.5 I think is an easy grade, right? He had Taguchi, which you loved.
Yeah, right? that was a phenomenal match.
And then he had Ospreay.
Yeah, he had Ospreay.
At Invasion Attack, right?
Yep, two matches with Ospreay, both, you know, great matches.
I liked Invasion Attack a little bit more, but I'm not fucking hand-waving, you know, the finals. He had a good match with Bushi, even though we fucking hammered it because of all the interference. I mean, he still had a good match in February.
Yeah, and you know what? The crowd was pretty hot for it, too, if I remember.
Real hot, right? Then, we forget about this match. How about the fucking match against Liger at Dontaku?
Yeah, yeah, there's another match that's going to go under the radar, but, you know...
It was a solid match.
Sure.
Kushida's had a fucking really strong year, kids.
Also, you're forgetting about another one of my favorite matches from Best of the Super Juniors. He had a barn burner, if you will, with Matt Sydal.
Matt Sydal. Absolutely correct.
Fucking
yes.
Great match.
Guys, Kushida needs to be in this conversation. And to me, he's had a better year so far than Ishii. He's had a better year than Ishii.
Yeah, which is saying a lot.
And again, Ishii had great matches, don't get me wrong. But Kushida has consistently, over and over and over and over again, have had great matches, right? Kenny Omega's had a great year, and has been put in a position to have a great year. I think Kushida had a better year so far. Naito, again, Los Ingobernables, you can't fucking hand wave it, right? He's had great matches too.
But I can name more great Kushida matches this year than I can name great Naito matches.
Yes, I can do the same.
Just
yes.
A fact.
But again, position on the card, right? Kushida and Naito is expected to do more from a draw perspective. He's put in a bigger spot. I get that. And even Kenny Omega too. But if I'm just looking at match quality, and again, that's really one of the, aside from numbers of gates where we can kind of say, okay, he was on top and he drew, you know, Naito is going to beat Kushida in that, right? But, and again, we talk about the t-shirt sales, which again, and the merch, I don't know the numbers, but again, I'm assuming that it's moving the needle somewhat for Naito, right?
Yeah, you got to include the gimmicks.
I think so. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know, and again, I don't know how much of a swing it is, but we'll to me, it's a Kushida Naito. It's Kushida Naito Ishii.
Okay, that's a solid trio there. Kushida, Naito, Ishii.
And I don't think
Ishii.
Anybody... Yeah.
Ralph.
And I don't think there's, you know, I mean, who else? I don't think Okada.
No, you know what? I was just going to bring that up. Okada, to me, this year, I mean, okay. He had what I think that you and I would both agree is the match of the year thus far, of course. We're talking about the headliner at the Tokyo Dome against Tanahashi. You know, you said it was the greatest pro wrestling match you've ever seen. I'm not going to argue with that. You know, it's my match of the year so far, which is funny because I only watched that match one time.
I watched it three. I watched it 2 weeks ago. It stands up, man. It really fucking stands
up. I only
up.
Watched it once because it's kind of like almost one of those things where it's like too much. You don't want to have too much of a good thing. Like that match was so blow away to me that like I don't want to like
I'll never live my life that way. If it's a good thing, I want nine more of them. Yeah.
I know because hey, you know, not for nothing, we don't know what the future holds. We could both be dead tomorrow. Hopefully we're not. But
this is gonna be a real. This is gonna be a trip. This is gonna be the Damon tribute podcast.
Yeah, no, but
it's gonna be Damon McDonald was in a car accident earlier this morning. This is his last podcast.
No, we don't.
You can use that if you want. If it does happen, you can use that sound clip, and I'll give you full permission.
No, but seriously though, that was one of those matches where like, or I was like, okay, this was so good that I'm gonna go back to this at a much later date, and I'm gonna see if I feel the same way.
Here's what you do: watch it tonight.
Watch it tonight?
There's nothing else on.
That is not true. Tonight is the Game of Thrones season finale.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never seen an episode. I never will. I don't give a fuck about it.
Hey, you're not the only one that has expressed that opinion to me, but
like,
you're wrong.
Like Dungeons and Dragons bullshit like that, I don't give a fuck. I really don't. What is the appeal of that?
I would say that Game of Thrones is fantasy for people who don't like fantasy.
Flesh for fantasy. That's Billy Idol.
Hey, man. Tits and Dragons all the way. Tits and Dragons.
That's the name of my new band, my new synth pop band.
That would be a good pro wrestling promotion.
Tits and Dragons.
D&D. Tits and Dragons. It'd be great.
I think. You know what?
I'm going to start that.
You're onto something there. Anywho, Colin.
Anyhow. Yeah. Yeah. Okada. Yeah. Besides that match at the Dome with Tanahashi. Okay. He had... The
double Naitos.
Yeah, the double Naito. He had that.
He had Sonata.
Yeah, he had some. That match was okay.
Yeah, wasn't as it was good, but not great.
He had the match with Moose at the ROH show we were at. That was fun.
Good, not great.
Yeah, not great, but it was fun. Glad we got to see it.
And then the multi-man.
Yeah, the multi-man.
At Dash.
Yeah. What else though? And that's one of the things that frustrates me about him regaining the title so quickly. You know, Naito only had that for 70 days. And to me, you know, New Japan is kind of treading into these waters now where they have to be really careful about, you know, the number of times that they're swapping these belts out because...
No, Colin, again, I shared the stat with you. Vader's first run, months. Choshu had a month. There's plenty of guys that have not had a huge run their first time with a belt. It's okay. You're not gonna burn out the Japanese crowd with that. Don't put too much into that because that's it's not North America. This is not going to be a situation where it's fucking Dolph Ziggler. I mean, so you'll be fine. You'll be fine with Naito with that.
Okay, Okada.
Again, Vader's first reign, 1 month. And again, this is from Minoru-san01 on Twitter, who actually we retweeted it on our feed. But Vader's first reign, 1 month. Choshu's 1 month. Hashimoto went 3 months with no defeat, then lost it 3 months later. Tenzan, 1 month. Nakamura's first was 3 months. It's okay. It's happened before. It'll happen again. It's just what they do.
By the way, speaking of Vader, can I make this announcement really quick?
You can do it. I know your fucking pants are down for this, but
I'm dying to make this announcement.
Go, make it.
This is breaking news that just came out this morning. So at Rev Pro's Uprising 2016 show, which is going to take place at your call on Friday, August 12th, we are going to see Will Ospreay versus Vader. What a time to be alive. Let me tell you.
That's feud of the year right there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, the dollar and the pound are neck and neck. I think the dollar is worth more than the pound right now with all the shenanigans going over there with our friends in the UK.
Yeah, the big Brexit bomb.
Yeah. I don't know enough about it to talk about it, but I just know everybody was in a fucking tizzy. So, I mean, listen, save up some bucks. Go see Vader and Will Ospreay.
Hey.
And they have, I forget what day it is, but Shibata, Zack Sabre Jr. is somewhere over there. That's going to be fucking great.
That's right. And also, Shibata, well, while we're talking about him, he is going to be officially making his North American debut at the Death Before Dishonor 14 show for Ring of Honor, which is going to take place in Las Vegas at Sam's Town on August 19th. And I'm kind of on the fence about that. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to get off work for that, if I can, you know, scrounge up enough cash to go for that. But man, I'm kind of dying to see Shibata's debut. So we'll see what happens there. But that is happening.
You know, yes. Well, the good news is it was visa issues that have been cleared up, right? So if he's going to be in Vegas, I'll be surprised if you see him at a outdoor venue in the summer in the Northeast. Right? Don't be surprised.
All right, so yeah, I just wanted to mention those two matches. We've got Vader and Ospreay and Shibata debuting in for Ring of Honor in August. So
I gotta be honest with you, I didn't know how bad at one point Vader's health concerns were. Like, Vader was in a coma for 30 days.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I had no idea. I mean, I heard about it, but you know how you just forget shit and it's like, oh yeah, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't. Colin, do you think this is going to be a good match?
Well, let's look at the age difference here. You've got almost a 40-year age difference because Will Ospreay is 23 and Vader is 61.
You know what? 61 is not what concerns me. Two is what concerns me. That's how many knees he's had replaced, right?
Two knees.
Yeah. 30 days in a coma. He had 30 days in a coma. I'm reading some of this shit. I'm like, oh my God. He lost like 121 pounds when he was in a coma.
I think you need a good coma, Damon.
I certainly do. That's not nice. You know, that's really hurtful.
I'm just teasing.
It hurts. Your words hurt me. I need a safe space, Colin. look, I don't think this is going to be great. To be I really don't. I think we're going to see a spectacle. I don't think we're going to see a great match.
We're going to see a hot crowd for this. Come on. The fans are going to be into this. And I want to see Vader do a flip. He has to do the big moonsault from the top.
You think he's, I tell you what. If he does a moonsault, not only is he a dope, but he's a miracle of science. He should not be doing any.
Just think about how ironic it would be, though, if he did a flip during this match.
I want to see him fucking tear into Will. Let's see him get a little rough with Will. Let's see how Will takes that, calling Vader.
Yeah, well, Vader has always been a notoriously stiff performer. So
yeah, that's all he's got. I mean, seriously, it's going to be one of those. You know what this could be? And again, maybe not even in this realm or in this.
What, you know, if Vader's going to shoot on him?
No, he's going to pull out his eye like fucking Hansen did to him. This is what, like, I think of when I hear a Vader Will Ospreay match. I think of Tenryu Okada.
Right? Yeah, it is kind of like in the same ballpark as that. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you know, Will is going to have to be fucking. He's doing 99% of this. He's going to make this match. I don't know. Do I want to see it? Yeah, I want to see it for the spectacle. I can't imagine it being a great match, but we'll see. All right, so there we go. We're all over the map today.
Well, Damon, on that note, I think now would actually be a good time to get into our little fan Q&A here. You know, I'm just looking at the time.
We're not going to talk about Tag Team of the Year?
Well, actually, we're going to get into that because I think that's one of the questions.
Okay, so, let's start.
Yeah. So last night, you know, I put the word out on the social media gimmicks. I said, hey, we're thinking about doing a Q&A tomorrow since we don't have any shows to review. And as always, we've got a tremendous response from our great listeners. So let's get into this right now.
Keep in mind, I have not looked at any of these questions.
That's not a gimmick, folks. He does not know any of these questions.
I don't know how to get on Twitter. No, I'm sorry.
Damon, you download the app on your phone, and I know it's a lot of work.
It really is. All right. Okay, so fire away. Let's go.
All right, here we go. And I apologize in advance if I butcher some of these names here, but we're going to go to the Facebook page.
Did Tomohiro Ishii give us a question?
Yes. Ralph gave us a question.
This comes from a Ralph. Tomohiro Ralph.
Well, actually, it's funny because the first question is about none other than Tomohiro Ishii. And this one comes from Jordan Bileski. I'm sorry, I can't read this here. Jordan Bileski, I'm going to say. And I apologize, good sir, if I am completely butchering your name there.
It's pronounced Smith.
Yeah, right? All right, so here we go. His question to us is,
yes,
what is the next step for Ishii? I want to see more singles matches. Well, you're going to get them in the G126, certainly.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, guys, it's not, you know, the single matches, as Conan likes to say, don't grow on huckleberry trees.
They don't.
Right. Single matches in New Japan are treated special. It's not like you're going to see them all the time. If the question is, do you see Ishii rising above the level that he's at? No. This is who Tomohiro Ishii is. He's in the same level as Shibata. Never title. Maybe a tag strap. No higher.
All right. Second question from Facebook comes from Mr. Peter Gardner. And he's a lot of he's like three questions here. So
jeez,
I know a lot of people take advantage of this Q&A thing. You know, one question, folks, please.
No, as many as you want. If they're good, if they're shit questions, Colin's the judge, though. I don't even know. So,
all right. So the first question he has is, he says, the heavyweight tag division is rather shit, isn't it?
Isn't it? That's the question. The answer is absolutely. Next question.
Without bringing in outside teams, put together three teams using the current NJPW roster that you think could A, be a cool team, and B, maybe give those guys something to do. Well, here's the thing with that question, though. I've never been a big proponent of, okay, let's take random guy from A block and random guy from B block and put them together and call it a tag team. I'm not a big fan of that. Are you, Damon?
No, you need matching tights to be a tag team, right?
Yeah, you do. You know, I mean, look at the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express. Come on.
But to answer the question, I mean, it's not necessarily taking two random guys, but I think, like, for me, an Evil Sonata is kind of tailor-made for the tag belts, right?
Yeah, you could do an Evil Sonata. I mean, they're from the same faction, so.
Yeah, I think that's where you were going. I was excited, actually, with the Elgin Tanahashi thing.
That was cool.
I really was. I thought that was really the way that we were going to see to give Tanahashi the time off that he so desperately needed.
What if we did a Goto Yoshihashi tag team?
It's not bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad at all.
I would take that.
Two solid hands.
Yeah, I would take that. I still
they
like
they can
Shibata.
Call them the gatekeepers.
Yeah, yeah, the Chief Jays.
Yeah, yeah.
I still like the. What was I going to say? Yeah, you made me lose my train of thought, you bastard. See, that's why I blurt out shit, because I fucking forget shit the minute, like, the Alzheimer's kicks in and my head explodes. All right, no, I think that's good. I think that answers the question, right? What else we got?
One of his questions here, and I think you're going to like this one. Why the Nakanishi hate? Considering this guy came back from a career-ending injury and his age, he works harder and does more than most of the other dads, and honestly, a good quarter of the roster. I know he's not the best or was never even the best in his prime, but I think he is way underrated for the roles he plays than people give him credit for. What do you think about that, Damon?
No, I think he's off mark. And again, if you like what you like, but you're off mark. Nagata's better. Kojima's better. And has always been. Like, Nakanishi has always been behind those two dads, if you will.
I think a lot of people, by the way, got a kick out of that photo I posted on our Twitter a while back that you sent me where Nakanishi was the young lion.
Yeah. I mean, everybody starts that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Age is a motherfucker, isn't it, Colin? I'll show you pictures when I was in, you know, Colin's just learning that people age, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just starting to learn that.
You're in for a fucking shock.
Can't wait.
Now, I mean, look, Nakanishi, how can I get excited? To me, Nakanishi, and again, it's not a huge spot. It's not a big role. But to me, he's a guy that even in that role, he's third, fourth fiddle. So he's taking a spot that really physically the demands that we're asking of him, he can't even do that very well at this point. I understand the fact that he's been around for a long time. I've never been a fan, but with that said, I get the fact that longevity has some, you know, you can't hand wave, but he's taking a spot from somebody. Wouldn't you rather have somebody else in that spot?
Well, I will say this. God bless him for still doing the crossbody block from the top rope.
He has one spot a night, a match. Listen, I was at Duntaku when he did the dive over the top rope. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was saying.
Hey, it's a wonder that he can do some of the stuff that he does.
And again, it is a mentality of taking care of those people. That I appreciate. You know, the fact that the company takes care of the person and lets them go as long as they want to go, it feels like. But there's got to be a point where you got to look in the mirror and say, okay, I probably should step aside. I think that's Nakanishi. I'm sorry.
Next question comes from Vincent Sardo, and he asks, with G1, should NJPW reach out to the likes of Chris Hero and Big Daddy Walter to help boost the division? Also, if they do, I think after G1, they would make a hell of a tag team for NJPW. I'm a big Chris Hero guy, but I'm not that familiar with Big Daddy Walter, so maybe you can enlighten me there, Damon.
I don't know who the fuck Big Daddy Walter. And that's, you know, no knock. I don't know. Chris Hero, I definitely do, but you're not going to see anybody. We just went over for 20 minutes. You're not going to see anybody new for G1.
Yeah, I would love if we saw Chris Hero in G1.
But again, there's no room, and they're not going to make room for Chris Hero.
Watch us wake up tomorrow morning now.
Chris Hero.
He's in the A block.
A blockle. Chris Hero.
Versus Tanahashi. Sumo Hall.
Yeah, that's not happening. So, again, there's a lot of names I'd love to see in G1. There's a lot of sexy names that are out there that would be a nice fit for G1, without question. It just, you know, if you're looking at it logically, it just can't happen.
This question comes from Andrew Bellman.
And Andrew?
He asks, do you think Kenny Omega could win the IWGP title as A, leader of Bullet Club, B, just overall either as a face or a heel? So should he win the title as leader of the Bullet Club or just, you know, a face or a heel, not part of that faction?
Omega's not winning in the heavyweight title as a face, heel, tweener. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, yeah. If he's going to win the IWGP heavyweight title, it's going to be as the leader of the Bullet Club.
It's going to be after he sets Antonio Inoki's house on fire. That's the only way I see this happening.
Next question, I think we kind of answered. From Taryn Johnson, again, sorry if I'm butchering these names, and he asks, do you guys think that Minoru Suzuki will be in the G1 this year?
Nope.
And also, who do you guys think will be some outside wrestlers going in to be the G1 this year? We kind of covered that.
We did. I don't think anybody. Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, yeah, Kota Ibushi. Daniel Bryan.
Oh, Christ. I knew that was coming.
This next question comes from Tom Weinman, and this goes along with the heavyweight tag debacle. The heavyweight tag division is weak. Why no KES? Just curious. I know they are over in NOAH, but they would be a great team to go to against the Briscoes. I mean, Takahashi and Paige, I don't see that as viable. Tom, I don't see that as viable either, but that's where they're going, and I'm sorry to say, Killer Elite Squad, I don't see them coming to NJPW anytime soon, although I would love that.
No. Yep. No need to go any further. I agree with both points. And honestly, tweet Lance Archer. I know he's on the Twitter. Give him he answers questions too. I mean, he's not going to answer, honestly. He'd be like, fucking Gato hates me. You know, you're going to hear that. But I don't know. You would think that, you know, they spent a lot of time in New Japan. And they needed a new coat of paint. Let's be honest here. When they were in New Japan and going to NOAH was, you know, a little shot in the arm for them. I would welcome them back tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they would work great against the Briscoes, but I don't think we're going to be seeing that anytime soon. Not just yet. Next question is kind of an interesting one. I like this one from Jason Persevich, and he asks, what kind of relationships do the Japanese wrestlers have with the Gaijins? I would think the language barrier would make it hard to put a match together. Always wondered how that was done. Well, I remember AJ Styles. I think he was asked this question, or at least he talked a little bit about it in an interview. I don't know if it was a podcast he was on. I can't remember. But basically what he said was that pro wrestling is a universal language, and pretty much all the moves are, you know, the same in Japanese as they are in English, except that they call a suplex a brainbuster. That's it. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, when you're trained to be a pro wrestler, you're learning the basics so that you can get in the ring with anyone. And at the very least, you have a competency at a certain level of being able to work a match. You get to a New Japan level, obviously that competency is raised. So you can have very good matches without really a lot of communication at all, really. And then, as Colin explained, the match structure and how they call the shit in the ring is a lot of it is universal. So it's, you know, the language barrier is not there. And listen, everybody that I've ever talked to and anything that I've ever read from a guy who's worked at New Japan, the locker rooms have always been one of the best. I've never really heard much complaining about the locker room. I have heard complaining. I'm not going to lie to say that it's all roses, you know, in New Japan locker room. And I'm not saying this just to be like to cause any kind of fucking friction, but it's a locker room. And anytime there's a competitive, you know, environment where I want that spot that person's in, yeah, there's going to be a little bickering. There's going to be a little, you know, they're independent contractors, you know, trying to position themselves in the best light possible. But overall, everything I've heard about that locker room in general has been positive. They get along, and that's the North Americans and the, you know, the British, and, you know, with the Japanese, it's they take care of them over there. So I've never heard anything super bad where the locker room was toxic like it was, you know, I don't know, WCW in the 90s or something like that. You know,
this next question comes from one of our listeners in Chile. Actually,
wow.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And his name
I'm starving. I could go for some chili right now.
I knew you were. All roads lead to food, I'll tell you what. But his name is Mateus, not to be confused with Mateus Jabs from the Scorpions. He asked us the question, do you think that another Gaijin could be in the orbit or even win the IWGP title in the near future? Hangman Page. There's my answer.
that's terrible. I mean, listen, the IWGP title is made. You really got to, again, look at who's won it in the past 10 years. You know, who's had it? Who's carried it? Not many people. It's not one of those titles that they're going to just flip-flop all around. It's a certain person. You got to be the right fit to carry that belt. And being a Westerner or being outside of Japan, that's going to make it even tougher. There's not many people that have had to have that distinction and have that honor to do so. They don't grow on huckleberry trees. So do I see it in the very near future? I don't. I don't see it.
Next question comes from Justin Enuffa Ballard. And he asks, who wins G1 now? I'd pegged Okada to win and challenge Naito again at Wrestle Kingdom 11. But since Okada is already the champ again, who challenges him at Wrestle Kingdom 11? Well, this was something that I was actually going to bring up today. Damon, they at this point, the biggest match that they could do, at least in my opinion right now, and they've already done it twice this year, is Okada versus Naito. Like, that's probably the biggest Wrestle Kingdom main event that they could do. So originally I was traveling along the same train of thought as Justin here, you know, where we thought that Okada was going to win G1 and the story going to January was going to be his redemption journey, you know, to get back the title from Naito. But maybe the roles are swapped now. Maybe we have Naito win G1. What do you think?
Well, let's put it this way. Who are the top three guys in the promotion right now?
Nope. Tanahashi, Okada, and Naito.
Who's winning G1?
You know what? Here's the thing. I think Okada could still win G1.
Yes.
People forget about how much money they're...
I think Tanahashi could still win G1. I think he could do it.
Do you want to know what my G1 finale armchair booker thing originally was?
Go.
Tanahashi versus Okada at Sumo Hall.
I mean, look, the story was that, you know, Okada and Tanahashi, you know, this was the final chapter. This was Okada's redemption at the Dome. I don't know who else wins this. Does Elgin win G1? I don't see it.
No, I don't see that.
I don't see it. Does Omega win it?
No, no way.
No way?
No way. I don't think Omega's going to... Omega's going to headline the Tokyo Dome?
I mean, you know. Again, to me, it's a three-horse race. And it's Okada, Naito, Tanahashi. Right?
It's got to be Naito.
I think it's Naito. But I could be... Listen, we've been dead wrong before, but I...
Just, we have.
But it's one of those three, and... I think people are forgetting Tanahashi and who he is and what he's about and what the company thinks of him. If he's healthy, Colin, I wouldn't be shocked to see a Tanahashi Naito at Wrestle Kingdom.
No, I don't think it would necessarily shock me either. But again, just remember all the money that they're pumping into Okada. Just keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree, but yeah, it's those three. It's those three. I don't see any other dark horses pulling out of the pack, you know, over Tanahashi, Okada, and Naito. I just don't see it.
All right, we're going to do a few more Facebook questions here, then move on to Twitter. I have to read these. These are from George, and he has like three short questions here. Number one, what exactly is a jizz waffle? Number two, Damon, can you come to Baltimore and adopt me? Number three, how drunk am I? Drunk enough to pick Shibata to win the G1?
I'll work my way backwards. Probably. Two, what was it, adoption?
Yeah, to come to Baltimore and adopt him.
Yeah. I don't know if you really want that.
I don't think you make a good father, Dan.
I really don't think so either. Everybody says, like, you make a good father. Like, I don't really think so. No. I would be bored out of my mind with it in the first 20 minutes and be like, all right, I'm good. Take it back.
The child would die.
I don't think it would die, but it would. I would be over it. I'd be like, I'd probably give it away. Like, I really don't really want this thing.
What a humanitarian.
You know. And then.
The jizz waffle.
Oh, the jizz waffle. Well, it's just a term of endearment. You know, dickhead, fuckface, whatever harsh term you want to call somebody. You know, you're just combining something, you know, a bad word with something that's literally the most kid-friendly thing you could think of. And that's what he went. Just made it up on the spot. I'm sure somebody else has used the term jizz waffle before. It just came to my mind as I was typing out a comment.
I think you're the originator, Damon.
Yeah, all right. I'll take full credit for it, but
hashtag jizz waffle.
Hashtag jizz waffle. I couldn't even get that sentence out. I think I just had a stroke with it. I said hashtag his waffle. I really did. I wanted to play back and like isolated what I said. I don't even know what I said. Yes, hashtag jizz waffle.
One more Facebook question here. This comes from Kevin Norris, and I like this one. Do you see Hangman Page, Lord forbid, or Adam Cole, baby, having any major success in the G1? For that matter, do you see Adam Cole, baby, having any success in NJPW, period? Lastly, do you see NJPW officially changing Adam Cole, baby's name to Adam Cole, baby?
No, baby. For all the above, I don't see them in G1. I don't see a lot of success, and no, I don't see them officially changing his name to Bay Bay. Do you like that Bay Bay stuff?
Yeah, I do. I get a kick out of it.
All right, very good.
All right, let's move to Twitter. We have a few from Twitter that we're going to get.
I'm exhausted here.
I know. Hey, we're paid.
I can't believe this. Every time you do this gimmick, though, every time you say, "All right, let's do a Q&A thing," I in the back of my mind, I'm like, "Nobody's going to fucking give us questions. Like, nobody gives a fuck. No, who's listening to this show?" You know,
David.
I mean?
Within 10 minutes, we were literally swamped with questions. Yeah, swamped.
Wow.
I apologize. There's no way that, you know, we can get to every single one, and we're going to try to answer some of these on Facebook, by the way, the ones that we couldn't get to on the show here. But yeah, Damon, don't sell us short here. We've got lots of listeners here, and we thank you guys for listening to us, and everybody has just, you know, the nicest things to say about, you know, them listening to us on their commute and them laughing, and, you know, and I'm happy that we can be a small kind of weird part of your lives like that. You know,
it is kind of weird. Hey, you know what, I got to give a special shout out to that our good friend Esbach again. Know what that guy did?
He sent you some Blu-rays, right?
Holy crap, he sent me 4 Blu-rays, right? Big Japan shows, some classic New Japan shows on Blu-ray. The picture quality is fucking great. And he sent a magazine. He sent over the most recent New Japan. They have like a bi-monthly magazine. He sent over the New Japan magazine. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit, this guy is fucking the best. So Esbach, again, I personally thanked you via the email as well as the Twitter box. But again, a special shout out to this guy who's in Japan, listens to the show, big pro wrestling fan. So again, it blows me away when shit like that happens. You know what I mean? It's just like, wow, it's the kindness, man. Fucking awesome. So when I'm done with those Blu-rays, Colin, I'll send them your way.
Cool. Thank you. And moving on to the Twitter machine here, we have a twofold question from @AdGaskin, Adrian Gaskin, and he asks, I have a couple questions. One, where does Los Ingobernables go from here after a clean sweep at Dominion? And playing fantasy booker, how would you improve the tag division in NJPW, and who would be the teams involved? Let's work backwards here. First of all, number two, with the tag division, get rid of these junior tag straps. We don't need 2 separate tag divisions. Just have the IWGP tag team titles. And, you know, you could have, like imagine having the Super High Flyers, Seidel and Ricochet versus the Briscoes. What a great match that would be, you know? Like, think of all the possibilities.
How long have we been on that fucking platform? We've been saying that for a long time. Yeah. Guess what I read in The Observer?
Uh-oh, what?
that exact same shit. I swear.
Yeah,
to
yeah. Meltzer did say the same thing. You're right.
He said
I read that
like a paragraph about it. I was like, that sounds really familiar. Right.
Wonder what he's listening to.
Listen, hi Dave. Can we get a free subscription, please?
Free subscription. Okay, can we get some money, please?
Dave's not giving us any money. That's for sure. No, Colin. That's my Dave Meltzer.
Wait.
No. I love that fucking show. What were we saying? What was the question, Colin?
All right. So the one was about the tag division, and I kind of answered that. Just get rid of the junior tag straps and just have one set of tag titles, okay?
Agreed.
That could, you know, improve things a lot here.
And right, and the junior belts don't mean shit anyway.
Neither of the belts mean shit. And, you know,
I think the tag belts still, and amazing that it still does. I still think it means something. But we've been saying it for months. Okay, what's the next question?
The next question was concerning Los Ingobernables, and Adrian wants to know, where do they go from here after their clean sweep at Dominion? And my answer is the G1. That's where they get their redemption.
I say they get ramen right afterwards. They wouldn't think it was done.
Hey, that sounds pretty good.
Oh, I could go for some fucking ramen right now. I mean, listen, they're not buried. They're not dead. They're not, they're heels. They're supposed to put over baby faces. I think Naito is again, gun to my head, who's winning G1? I think it's Naito.
This one comes from at Sasaki's cousin.
Oh, all right.
Spirit. Yeah, that's his Twitter handle. Spirit of Sasuke.
Okay.
And his question is, Kushida and Yoshihashi, should they be in the G1, and will they be in the G1? We kind of answered that. You're saying Kushida, no. Yoshihashi, ?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
All right, next one. This is kind of a interesting question, kind of a twofold question here. This one comes from at Adam G. Wilson 85.
And 84 was taken.
Yep, 84 was taken, so he had to go with 85. You know, you gotta make do. His first question is, why don't New Japan audiences throw streamers? Is it because it's seen as an All Japan thing?
No, it's just a company decision, because it was a pain in the fucking ass cleaning up streamers, be honest with you. They were sick of it. And I think there was some people, I don't know this for sure, so don't crucify me. But you're going to crucify me anyway.
Crucify him.
I think there were complaints. Like, people were getting sick of getting pegged with fucking streamers at shows. So they just recently made Noah. Noah was always streamer, like pro streamer.
Yeah, I remember.
And they pulled the plug on that. Big Japan still streamers, I think. A lot of the women's promotions streamers.
You know what though? Didn't in New Japan? I think there were streamers at the Honor Rising shows.
Really.
Yeah, I swear there were streamers during those shows.
I don't remember.
I could be dead. I could be dreaming that, but
yeah, but New Japan shows, that they just decided to not have it. I don't know if it's a safety concern. I don't know if it's just they got sick and tired of cleaning up fucking streamers. I don't know, but I like it. I kind of miss it. I do enjoy seeing it. Listen, it's really cool when they coordinate the colors. Misawa would have his green, his emerald green and kind of silvery color or white, Kenta Kobashi's final match. The streamers mean a lot.
Johnny Ace.
Streamers mean a lot.
The dynamic dudes would have streamers.
Look, Johnny Ace in fucking All Japan was great. The women's, matches are, it just adds an extra dynamic that makes it very cool. Do I think it's played out like in Ring of Honor where they throw like toilet paper streamers? Yeah. But I'm pro streamer. I'm pro streamer.
And his other question that he had, which I kind of like, which is your favorite Korakuen fan banner? And I can answer that right away. I love the young lion of blue eyes. The one
that is
for,
a good one.
I guess it was Jay White.
And I got to be honest with you. When I was there, I marked out two times. One, I marked out seeing, the dingy white one that just says New Japan Pro Wrestling. in Japanese, it's the white banner, but it's like made out of like a bed sheet. You know what I mean? It's just in black spray paint.
Yeah, yeah.
But you saw
zero effort.
Yeah, but it still is so iconic. Like you see it at every fucking show, and it's like, oh, there it is, that dirty bed sheet banner. I do like the Liger one where it's like half his face on the side. You know, it's like you know, on the left side of the banner, it's just his face, but it's, you know, like his mask is cut in half long ways, and then it just says Jushin Thunder Liger.
I like the tiger mask one too.
I like the Go-Go Tiger. And I like the Kushida one. I do like that one. My favorite one is definitely Dirty Sheet. The Dirty Bed Sheet is my favorite.
All right, one final question here, and I saved the best for last here, and this one comes from @CurtainJerkSOB.
Nice.
Also known as Tranquilo Dragon. He tweets us a lot.
Let me tell you something. We got some fucking funny followers.
We do.
Really do. They do make me laugh at work.
Yeah, well, and I think that they you know, appreciate some of the goofiness that we interweave into this podcast as well.
Yes, all right. So, what's the last question?
Last question. How excited are you for a possible Nakanishi versus Yujiro in the G1? I'm pumped.
No.
I'm all in.
Sadly, I don't think we'll see it. I don't think Nakanishi's in. I don't think Nakanishi would survive. I think Nakanishi would literally keel over on day 8.
Probably. Yeah.
There would be a breaking news day 8.
Well, first of all, by the time he gets down to the ring,
the guy is
gassed.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I give him all the props in the world for trying, but it's time to hang him up. No, unfortunately, we will not be seeing that, but I'm sure we'll have some other gems in there that will be, oh boy. And it's going to make it even more painful when it's 3 o'clock in the morning watching that shit. So yeah, that's right around the corner, dude. Are you going to try and catch these shows live, or are you just going to watch them the next morning?
You know what? I'll probably end up watching them the next morning because, you know, I'm a big 8 hour sleep kind of guy. You know, I don't like to fuck around with my sleep. So, you know, because I like to be sharp between the ears, as they say. And yeah, that's probably what I'll end up doing. And that's the last of our questions here. And once again, guys, we get so many questions. I really appreciate it. I apologize if we couldn't get to every single one. I mean, quite frankly, this would be a 3 hour podcast if we were to answer every single one, maybe more. So we'll try to get to the ones that we didn't answer on the show on Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, thanks again for all your support and always listening to us. And once again, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and just go to newjapanpurocast.com. All the links for the social media and all of our feeds are there. And you can also listen to us on the Great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network as well. And Damian, there's one thing before we kind of sign off here for this week's edition that I wanted you to touch upon. And that's the if you're a member of the Classic Japanese Pro Wrestling Facebook group, there was a big announcement there that our buddy Gaijin Eric made. Can you kind of enlighten us on what this is going to be?
I certainly can. So, of course, me and Eric are pretty tight. So he clued me in a few weeks, maybe longer than that. He had ideas. You definitely want to, if you're not already a member of the Classic Japanese Pro Wrestling Facebook group on Facebook. The big claim to fame are the drops, are the videos that consistently and constantly they upload all these various promotions. So again, if you're looking at a lot of these shows online, whether it be Daily Motion or other avenues that you have direct links to, you can thank these guys who, you know, stay up late or wake up early and record these shows and upload them for our enjoyment for free. So they're going to make it a little bit easier. One, they're going to have a Google Drive that's going to have these shows ready for download. So if you are a completist and you need to have these shows, you'll have them, which is fantastic. The second thing is that they're scanning programs and magazines and that kind of stuff in this drive as well. So you can read and look at all these awesome programs. And again, there's nothing better than a Japanese pro wrestling program. They just do it so well, and the artwork and the photography is just tremendous. And you know, a lot of these big shows, your dome shows, your G1s, your major shows, your champion carnivals, that kind of stuff. And then third is they're going to have an archive, and they're working diligently on it. They're going to have an archive of every single All Japan match that's been televised. And they're going to have it where you can search by that match.
That's insane, because I know
really
that there's plenty of listeners like I who, you know, hear these tales of how great All Japan was in the 90s and really want to kind of, you know, delve into some of these classics with Kawada and Misawa. And this is going to really come in handy for that if you want to get into some classic All Japan.
Yeah, and it's not like these matches, you know, a lot of these matches, you know, aren't available, but it's just they're scattered all over the internet. So it's going to be just one awesome spot where you can, you know, for free, you don't have to pay. Just a tremendous undertaking that they're doing, and that's Eric, and that's his partner Jamal, as well as Morton VH. You can follow him on Twitter, who has stepped up big time from what Eric was saying on a lot of recording these shows. So again, Big Japan, All Japan. You're not going to see New Japan stuff on there that you can get at the network. He made that perfectly clear. That's not happening. So if you could subscribe to it and there's a way for you to get a hold of it here and pay, they're not going to upload that stuff. So I want to make that point perfectly clear. But the stuff that we would never be able to watch and these guys are getting for us, again, the Big Japans, the All Japans, the a lot of the women's promotions, you know, Michinoku Pro, the stuff that you'll never see. If it wasn't for these guys, you know, they're making it happen. So a real fantastic project, a real massive project. I don't know where they're getting the time to do all this, but it's happening, and it's such a good thing. So our hats off. They're big supporters of the PureCast, and we're big supporters of them and the Classic group. So good job by them, and that's where we are with that. Now let me ask you this. Do we have a show tomorrow that we have to preview real quick?
And you know what, I was thinking that we could just do like the top three matches from this show.
Yeah, because really the big news coming out of the show is the G1 announcements, but what's the lineup? I don't even know.
All right, so this is going to be next Sunday, early Sunday morning, late Saturday evening, here in the States, on July 3rd. This is their Kizuna Road 2016. This is going to take place from Iwate, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, but big three matches for this one. First of all, there's going to be a six-man for the never openweight six-man tag title, so we're going to have the Elite defending against Matt Sydal, Ricochet, and Satoshi Kojima, which should be a good match.
Yeah, sounds fine. Just bang through the matches. I mean, is there anything, like, what's the main event for this show?
Let me just announce the semi-main event here.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is another one of the Los Ingobernables versus Chaos elimination matches. So we got Will Ospreay, Yoshihashi, Goto, and Okada taking on Bushi, Evil, Sonata, and Naito.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
No, not bad. I mean, I'm sure it'll be good, but again, we've seen this countless times. But the main event, which I think everybody is looking forward to, for the never open weight title, Katsuyori Shibata defends against a returning Tomoaki Honma.
Yeah, he was hurt. He was banged up a little bit. He's healed up. He's ready to rock and roll. And we know that's going to be a great match. And that's when, but this is tomorrow, right? This is the 27th?
No. This is next Saturday or Sunday, July 3rd.
My bad. Okay. All right. So right around the holiday. Do we know what a lineup is for this 27th show? This Kizuna Road show.
Yeah, we do. We do have the lineup for the 27th. If you want to go over that, even
just real quick, just give me like the top three matches. We don't have to go through match by match.
Even though most of you may have watched it already by the time you're listening to this, but let's see here. Main event is actually this might be quite good. Will Ospreay and Okada versus Bushi and Naito.
Huh. That's pretty. That should be really nice, actually.
Yeah. And then we've got Yoshihashi and Goto versus Evil and Sonata. That should be good.
Okay.
That's about, you know, that's the juiciest stuff really that's going to be on this show. There's also it's going to open up with Taguchi versus Finley, which I don't think you're going to get Best of the Super Juniors Taguchi in this. You know, be forewarned.
Right, probably not.
We're probably going to get goofy sunglass wearing Taguchi. So
yeah,
But okay. those are the two juiciest matches coming out of this show tomorrow. So how about this? For next week, we can kind of talk about our feelings on like the two main events from the show tomorrow.
Yep.
And then we'll do our review of the July 3rd show. And we'll talk about all of the official G1 participants, which will be announced by that time.
Yep. Again, a lot of people listen to this show on a Monday. The announcements will already be happening, but a lot of review, a lot of shows coming up, and again, G1 right around the corner, so it'll be a fun time.
Alrighty, so on that note, Damon, I think we're going to go home here, and thank you guys as always for listening to us. Keep those 5-star reviews coming in on the old iTunes and Stitcher. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, VoicesOfWrestling.com, and we'll be back here next week, same bat time, same bat channel, to talk about this July 3rd show, talk about some of the main events for tomorrow's June 27th show, and lots more fun in all the things going on in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. We've got some great things coming up in the coming months. So for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you down the road. Later, guys.